I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As I mentioned at the start of the service today, we are celebrating Holy Cross Day. And the cross is, of course, central to the Christian faith and to Christian understanding. In some ways, we celebrate Holy Cross Day every Sunday, every time we break bread to remember Christ's death. And every time we view this symbol of our faith. But today gives us the opportunity to really think deeply about what the cross means for us and for how we live as Christians. Here at St. Helens, Holy Cross Day is kept as our patronal festival. For any of you who are new to St. Helens and are wondering why we keep Holy Cross Day as our patronal day, or indeed any of you who have been attending here for a while and are still wondering, I can tell you that St. Helen, or St. Helena, as she's also known, was famous really for two things, being the mother of the Emperor Constantine, the first Roman emperor to become a Christian, and for discovering the true cross on which Christ was crucified. So Helen is closely connected to the cross. In fact, it might be down to her and her reputed discovery of the true cross that led to the cross becoming the most common and best known symbol of Christianity. Before her son became emperor, enabling her to make her pilgrimage to the Holy Land and discover the cross was rarely used actually as a Christian symbol. And we might find that strange, given the importance of Christ's death on the cross from the very earliest days of Christianity. St. Paul, for example, in the first letter to the Corinthians, talks about preaching the cross. In the letter to the Galatians, Paul writes, "God forbid that I should boast, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Words that were quoted in the hymn we just sang and in the words of our opening liturgy. The cross of Christ has always been theologically important to Christians. So why wasn't it immediately adopted as a symbol of Christ and the church? It may be because crucifixion was a shameful death. But I wonder if it was perhaps that before Constantine's conversion and Christianity gaining status as an official religion of the Roman Empire, the cross was seen more as a symbol of the empire that executed Jesus than it was a symbol of the man they killed. If so, then perhaps as Christianity gained legitimacy in the empire and the persecution of Christians ended, the distaste of the association of the cross with the power of the empire diminished, allowing it to become a powerful visual symbol of Jesus's great work of salvation. When preachers and theologians talk about the cross, they often emphasize, quite rightly, I think, the cross as the tool by which Jesus did win salvation for the world and freed humanity from sin. It's all too easy, however, to focus exclusively on the cross, divorcing it from the other half of that work of salvation, the resurrection. Cross and resurrection go together. Christ's resurrection was the point at which death was overcome and the renewed creation came into being. But the only way to get there was by the cross. So Jesus went willingly to the cross, not enthusiastically, as we can see from his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he asks the Father that, if it's possible, let this cup be taken from me. But he went willingly. He was willing to sacrifice everything, to endure terrible pain and suffering, even death, to restore the relationships in creation that had gone awry, the relationship between humanity and God, the relationships between different groups of human beings, and the relationship between humanity and the rest of creation. He didn't ask himself, "What do I stand to lose?" Or how can I protect myself? Or even, is it worth it? The only question Jesus ever asked was, is this the will of the Father? And he knew that the answer to that question was yes. As we see in the Gospels, Jesus spent a fair bit of time trying to explain to his disciples what was going to happen, what the end point of his earthly ministry would be. He tried to explain it to Nicodemus in today's Gospel. But it wasn't until after it had happened that it finally made sense to the disciples. And then everything changed. Early Christians faced and often embraced martyrdom. Now, we need to be clear, martyrdom wasn't about wanting to die, but rather accepting death rather than abandoning faith and trusting in God to bring them through their ordeal into the kingdom of heaven. In accepting death and trusting in God's will, the martyrs were imitating Christ, sharing in a death like his, confident that they would also share in his resurrection. What has that got to do with us, you may well ask? We, fortunately, aren't likely to face persecution and death for our faith. And we should, of course, be grateful for that fact. There are many in the world who still do face persecution and even death for their faith. But what about us? What does the cross mean for us? I believe that the cross stands as a reminder not only of what Jesus did for us, important though this is, but also of what Jesus calls us to do. As his followers, we are to take up our cross and follow. We might not have to do so literally. We are not being asked to die for our faith, but we are being asked to put to death in ourselves the things that separate us from God and keep us from showing the world what the true image of God looks like. Humanity is tasked with showing God's image, what God is like, in other words, God's likeness, to the rest of creation. And there's a problem with that, because we know the image of God within us is not a clear and perfect image. Whether you call it sin or human weakness, those tendencies within us to put ourselves first, to turn away from the suffering of others, to seek out wealth and power and security, have marred the image of God that we carry. And so we look to Jesus, the one without sin, humanity perfected, to see what it really means to be made in the image of God. For centuries, there have been those who have taught that because we carry the image of God, that makes human beings superior to the rest of creation and gives us the right to use, abuse, and exploit the earth and our fellow creatures however we like to serve our needs and satisfy our desires. But when we look at Jesus, the true image of God, is that what we see? No. When we look at Jesus, we see one who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The lesson of the cross is that being made in the image of God is not something to be grasped as a privilege, something to be hoarded and used as power over others. It is instead being willing to sacrifice oneself or one's privilege and comfort for the sake of others, even, and maybe especially, those we might see as lesser than ourselves. But that's not all. When we think of sacrifice, we often think of something done grudgingly or even against our will, something taken from us. But that hymn to Jesus from Philippians shows us something very different, that sacrifice can be made willingly, even joyfully, out of love. Even when it's costly, it can bring joy if done in love. When we know that our sacrifice brings good to others and is furthering the kingdom of God, it can bring joy. And this is what we see in Jesus. His journey that began by letting go of being in the form of God and seemed to end at the cross was motivated by love and a desire to save the world. The cross wasn't the final end, however. It was a staging point along the way to the resurrection and Christ's reign at God's right hand. By being willing to let go of privilege and power, Christ regained what he willingly let go. Christ's mission continues in us, Christ's people. The world needs us to love as God loves and to be willing to give as Christ gave. We are seeing the effects of war, the effects of fear and anger played out in political violence. We're seeing the effects of climate change all around us in storms, wildfires, extreme temperatures, droughts, and floods. And we know that as well as harming one another, we are driving other species to extinction. As Christians, these things should matter to us. Our gospel reading today reminds us that God so loved the world that he sent his only son. Not God loved his chosen people so much, not even God loved humanity so much, but God loved the world so much that he sent his only son. The world that God made, God also loves. Our world is suffering. Our fellow human beings are suffering. Farmers can no longer depend on the weather patterns that have sustained crops for millennia. This feast of the Holy Cross falls in the middle of the season that the church now calls creation tide. So it's right that we think about Jesus' work on the cross and our own calling to take up our cross in the context of the impact we human beings are having on the natural world. And this is not unrelated, the realities of social and economic inequalities and war and violence within human societies. If we are to reverse the trends of environmental harm and injustice, if we are to create an equitable society, if we are to work for peace, if we are to care properly for our world and its creatures and our human neighbors near and far, if we are to show the world the true likeness of God within us, it will require each of us to make sacrifices. We all need to learn to live differently, but we do not need to despair. What the cross teaches us is that sacrifice is costly. When motivated by love, it can be willingly embraced. The cross also shows us that this kind of sacrifice is the gateway to resurrection, renewed creation, and life in all its fullness. Amen.